Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming to this session. My name is Gordon Yeboah, and I will be your session chair for this talk. And so for this talk, if you want to ask any questions, you can go to the conference. You can go to the conference webpage. I'm going to show you the link. So once you go to the conference webpage here, you can go to the talks for today and then scroll to this presentation that we're about to listen to. And then on the left side, you will see a session part, which is a part for asking questions. So what we're going to do is to listen to a recorded version of the talk. And then after that, we will have a question and answers session. And this is what we're going to use. So while the talk is going on, you can put your questions here. And then you can also put comments here. Also, you can also have further information or read further information from the conference proceedings here. The links are provided in the part here. And you can also have some links, which is linked to the, I think the codes for the program, for the study that we you're about to hear. And then also, if you're interested, you can also go to OSM Science mailing list to register and discuss research ideas in the future. So now I will share my screen and then introduce the presenter, and then we'll listen to a recorded presentation. So two speakers are going to present this study. One is Chao Yan Wu and Hao Li. So for Chao Yan Wu studies for his PhD in Wuhan University and joined geoscience group at Heidelberg University as an exchange PhD scholar. His research interests include volunteered geographic information, geospatial deep learning, and high-performance geographic computing. And Hao Li, the second speaker, or the next speaker, the person presenting with Chao Yan Wu, is currently works at as a PhD researcher in GI Science Group at Heidelberg University. His research interests include volunteered geographic information, geosemantics, and remote sensing applications. The title, as you can see on the title on the webpage, the title of the talk is From Historical OpenStreetMap Data to Customized Training Samples for Geospatial Machine Learning. So now I will hand over to Chao Yan Wu to start the presentation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chao Yan Wu, and I am a PhD student in Wuhan University, China. From last year, I came to Heidelberg University and joined the geoscience group as an exchange PhD student. Today, my topic is From Historical OpenStreetMap Data to Customize the Training Samples for Geospatial Machine Learning. The topic was given by me and Hao. Hao Li is a PhD student in Geoscience Group, Heidelberg University. The topic was divided into four parts. The first part introduction and the second part package description were given by me, and the rest part were given by Hao Li. And let's get started. With the development of the machine learning and deep learning technology, a lot of research have been done in developing geo-AI analysis and solving geospatial tasks like land use, land cover classification, disaster quick response. Nevertheless, the lack of abundant training samples has been long considered as the main bottleneck of this research. However, OSM shows great potential in tackling such challenge, since it can provide massive and freely accessible geospatial data for generating training samples. More importantly, OSM has exclusively access to its full historical data, which means some intrinsic quality measurements can be provided to give an insight into the quality of the training samples. Actually, before us, there are already two great applications developed. One is Label Maker and the second one is RoboSat. Label Maker can prepare the satellite image training sample for geospatial machine learning, and both of them are great application. However, they do have some cons. For Label Maker, it is poor at labeling sparse targets in large area. For example, if you want to label the whole the water dam in the whole Germany, it may take you 3 or 4 hours to get the results. The RoboSat is an end-to-end pipeline for feature extraction from area and the satellite image using deep learning technology, but it can only support building, parking, road features, and if you want to extract the land use or something, not in this list, is just impossible. Besides that, it only supports PyTorch and the limited deep learning models. If you want to use TensorFlow or some new deep learning model, it's also impossible. Both of them lack of historical OSM data support, intermediate output, and quality indicator. The most annoying thing is that both of them are very hard to set up, and due to their they are based on QA tiles, so it's very difficult to turn the input data to modify it. So we proposed a new Python package named Awesome to Label. What is Awesome? Thanks to Hackett people, Awesome is a high, they develop Awesome, and Awesome is a high-level OpenStreetMap history data analytic platform, and the Awesome API let you analyze the rich data source of the OpenStreetMap history, and is based on the OpenStreetMap history database OSHDB. And you can find more detail on the GitHub or on their wiki on OpenStreetMap. And Awesome has three functions. The first one is OSM data aggregation, and the second one is history data extraction, and the third one is user contribution statistic. And based on the history data extraction, we have the material to generate the deep learning sample. And based on the Awesome data aggregation and the user contribution statistic, we can generate some intrinsic OSM quality indicator. So based on Awesome, we develop Awesome to Label and convert the historical OSM into geospatial training samples. Let me show you the package. And this is the workflow figure for the Awesome to Label. Start with YML config, we can get intrinsic quality from Awesome. Also, we can download Awesome OSM data from Awesome, and the result format is in GeoJSON, so we can easily modify it if you want to add some feature or just delete some feature. And after that, use Awesome to Label. We clip the whole GeoJSON into tile and get a lot of tile-based GeoJSON. Based on those tile-based GeoJSON, a vector tile will be rendered and a Cocoa-like annotation will be generated, and also the training image will be downloaded from some map API like Bingmap or Mapbox, and after that we can preview the label. And let me show you some more detail. This is the YML config, and it consists of three parts. And the first part is project parts. In this part, you can specify the machine learning task like object detection and the segmentation. And right now we only support such two kind task. And the second part is OSM config. And in the tag config, you can specify the label, which is the class category in the Cocoa annotation, and the key and the value is just the OSM tag. And here is the timestamps. You can specify timestamps and get the OSM data from any time. And right now we only support polygon feature, and the polyline feature is our next step. And the third part is the image part, and now we support downloading image from Bingmap, Mapbox, and Sentinel Hub. Also the user custom the web tile service is also supported. And here is the command sequence. AwesomeToLabel have five functions. The first is AwesomeToLabel vector, which downloaded the OSM GeoJSON from the Awesome API, and it will put in the raw folder. And the second is AwesomeToLabel quality, and use this command you can get three different pictures. The first one is area density, the second one is count density, and the last one is user density. The density means that it's the amount in square per square kilometers, and this figure shows the land use classification in Hedberg area. And from the first two pictures, you can see that the curve of each class is very flat, which means Hedberg has great OSM data quality and it's very suitable for generating good training samples. And the third one is AwesomeToLabel. And this command is the most important one, and it will generate tile based render the tile and annotation and the tile-based GeoJSON. And you can see the tile-based GeoJSON is put in the tile folder, and the annotation is GeoJSON, yes, Cocoa-like the JSON. Why we choose the Cocoa annotation format? It is because the Microsoft Cocoa is very widely used in deep learning communities. So it's just a good format to use in different machine learning or deep learning algorithm. And the label folder contains the render the label image, and the left one is instance segmentation label, and the right one is the object detection label. And the fourth command is AwesomeToLabel image, And it will download an area image or satellite image, or even you use the open area image, you can download a drone image. And the last command is OSMTUL label visualize, which produce the preview of the label. You can see we can provide two type of visualize. The first one is overlay type, which means the label is overlay on the satellite image. And the second one is combined type, and it means that the label image is side by side the satellite image. And next part will given by Hao.
Hello everyone, here is Hao Li. I will lead you guys to go through some examples of using OSMTUL label in the real machine learning applications. As the first example, we try to solve this land use land cover classification problem. Proposed first by Michel Schutz at 2017, we can see here with the 12 class land use land cover classifications, and the class ranges from the residential to the industrial and to the water bodies, and for each land use land cover classification levels, we can see we defined a range of corresponding OSM values. So by such kind of setup, we can actually prepare the land use land cover training samples using the OSMTUL label. As we can see here in the left side, it's the satellite image provided by the Bing map service. And in the right side, it's actually the land use land cover classification labels by this kind of definition over here. So once you have this kind of training samples available, you can start to design your classification models. For example, together with Zhaoyan, we have proposed a deep residual neural networks for land use land cover classification. And for this deep residual neural networks, it have some key characters. First, because this kind of networks, it consists of several residual blocks, and for each kind of residual blocks, you would have a fully activation function to the deeper layers. So that means for such kind of networks, every deeper layers can be formulated as the feature space of the lower features. So that means with this kind of ResNet, it can be very deep. For sometimes it can be more than 100 layers. That also means to train such a ResNet land use land cover classification model, you would need a massive training samples. And in this case, our OSMTUL label could meet such kind of requirements by preparing this kind of massive training samples out of OSM datasets. And let's see some preliminary results of our classification model. Actually, we have trained the ResNet for land use land cover classification in entire Germany. So all the OSM training samples across the Germany has been included into a single model. And then by implementing this model to the Sentinel-2 image in the whole Germany, we would be able to give the land use land cover predictions across the country. And as you can see here, this is a classification map for the Hedberg area. And we can see with this kind of ResNet, it can detects the forest areas, it can detach the urban areas as well as the croplands and the rivers very well. So that also means the OSMTUL label is indeed a powerful tool for this kind of land use land cover classification problems. And next, we would have a look at another example. We are doing object detections tasks over here. To be more specific, we want to detect the human settlements, the buildings from the satellite image. And in the left side, it's the image provided by the open area map, by this kind of image captured, very high resolution image captured by the UAV device. And then in the left side, we can see we overlay the existing OpenStreetMap building footprints and in the image in order to make the labels for our training samples. And in such way, we would be able to train our object detection networks to detect buildings from the satellite image. And this is building detection architectures we are using here. We are using the Mask RCN pre-trained on the Microsoft COCO datasets. Why we want to get this pre-trained network, it's because this Mask RCN gets really a huge set of parameters. So in order to get a stable performance, we have to pre-train such kind of network on the standard dataset, and then we fine-tuned it, the Mask RCN on our OSM building training samples. So by fine-tuning this Mask RCNN, we would be able to achieve the building instance segmentation model. And for this kind of model, the only thing you need to train the model, it's the satellite image, it's the image from the open area map together with OSM building features. And as a result, you can see in the right hand that this model can detect the buildings from different kind of buildings from the open area map image. But there is also some limitations. As you can see, some small buildings is missing, and some building footprint is inaccurate. Only half of the building is captured by the model. So for such kind of limitations, it also depends on how many training samples you got, and also together with the quality of the of the image you feed into your model. In general, awesome to level, it's a Python software that can allow you to define your own objects or your own machine learning training samples by querying the user-defined historic OSM data. And the package is pure written in Python. And another pro for the package is that the package is easy to set up. And more importantly, based on the awesome API, we are able to provide some OSM intrinsic quality indicators together with the training samples. And I believe for such kind of intrinsic quality indicators would help us to understand the performance of such kind of geospatial machine learnings in the future. As a future work, we would like to extend the package to support polyline features. We would extend the current intrinsic quality indicators to tile-based quality analysis. And we would also like to extend the package and support more machine learning task annotations. So you can find our package in GitHub, and it's totally open source. And any comments and suggestions is always welcome. So that's the reference. And thanks for your time, and thanks for coming to our talks. Is there any questions?
Okay, I'm waiting for, go ahead. Hello?
Polyline features.
Hello?
Extend the current intrinsic.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you now. I think they have to give us a go ahead before we go live with the Q&A.
Sorry, I have to mute the video, right?
No, it's okay. No, you have to put it on because they want to see you.
But I cannot hear you clearly right now.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you right now.
All right, okay. We have to wait for the video team to give us go ahead before we can.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Chaoyan Wu, for the excellent presentation. It's time now for questions and answers. I have my own, but I think there are interesting ones also coming up on the session part or the question part. So I will go there and then let's see how it goes. So question one, someone is asking, does awesome to label also georeference the results, that is land use vectors, building footprint vectors?
Okay, the awesome to label, the result is in a sleepy map tile, so which is in XYZ format, means you query each 25 sex, multiply 25 sex tile. So it is georeference that we have provide function that can convert the tile into the coordinate.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks. There is another question from Rene. I hope it's the Rene I know. Hello there. It says, thanks a lot for your talk. And he's wondering how your approach performs in areas with lower OSM data quality or with sparser coverage. And so he's asking, have you conducted systematic performance tests in corresponding areas? I think that's the first question. Would you be interested in support of your ongoing work in the Global South in particular? Oh, he's still writing actually. I think, I don't know whether you got it, but I think his main question here is, have you conducted a systematic performance test in corresponding areas? I think he's talking about spatial transferability here.
Okay.
Or transferability in general.
Okay, thank you for your question. It's an interesting question. And for the low quality OSM data quality or sparse coverage, it's two questions. For the sparse coverage, like the example I mentioned in the talk that the water dam in the whole Germany, it is perform very well. It may take 3 or 4 minutes. Well, you will get the result. And for the low OSM data quality area, actually, you still can get the result because we filter the tile that not contain OSM data, but we don't have the threshold that filter the tile that only contain 1 or 2 OSM data, and you have to filter the lower data quality tile in the later works. And actually, we are going to add this function to the awesome to label. Is this clear?
Yes, I think he says yes, it is. I think it's clear to Rene. There are no further questions, but I have some. If there are no questions coming, I think I can jump into some of the few I have. It's interesting, I'm seeing about 21 or 20 people in attendance, so that's very good. And thank you everyone for attending. You can still provide questions here or any comments that you have. And while the discussion is ongoing, So I think from the last issue that you talked about, I mean, touching on tiles, I have a question here for the tiles. Which zoom level or levels do you usually use in the algorithm? I think I saw zoom levels 17 and 14 in slide 11, where you showed some quotes. So if you can comment on that.
Okay, for the zoom level, actually it depends on what you are interested in, because for like land use, land, if you get very high resolution data, then you can set the zoom level very high, like 17, 18. But when we do the land cover, land use experiment, we only get the Sentinel-2 data. So the resolution is about 10 meters. So we choose the tile at 40 level that can provide about 10 meter tile. The resolution of the tile is about 10 meter, maybe 9.5 or something like that. And for building detection, if you have very high resolution like the Bing map or the other data source, then you can set the zoom level very high and get very detailed tile. And that's the answer.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I have another one here. So how is awesome to label applicable to informal urban areas like slums, which is something of interest to me. So to be interesting if you can highlight a bit on that.
Sorry, the internet is not stable.
Well, that's fine. I'll repeat. So I was asking, how is awesome to label applicable to informal urban areas like slums?
Slums?
Oh, yeah. Areas where, you know, I don't know the...
Okay.
Are you clear now?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, right. The second example is in Bangola, and I think their area is on the slums, and some how to say, but although they have some high resolution image, satellite image or drone image, but the OSM data is not sufficient, so you may training the model in other area, and then you choose some image in your study area, and then do some transfer learning tricks. Then you can get a well trained model. And awesome to label is actually data preparation tool, so you have to do some other tricks to fulfill your goal. And that's my answer.
Thank you, Chaoyan Wu, for the excellent answer. Okay, I can see someone trying to compose a question here. I'll wait for the person, but I have one here. Which is also somehow linked to the limitations that you pointed out with regard to the existing methods like RoboSat and others. So you indicated that one of the limitations of RoboSat and other tile-based approaches is setup difficulty. So from what you have done so far, do you think awesome to label is easy to use in comparison with these previous methods?
Yeah, actually, it's very easy to set up. It's purely write in Python. And what you need to do is just input the pipe install awesome tool in your command line, and you will get it, and you can start to use it. And you can follow the instruction on our GitHub, and there are sample config file, and you can play around with it.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for that. So I would assume you have already some tutorials or guidance regarding the setup. And also, I'll assume also that from what you've just said, the limitation will be around knowledge in Python, right?
Yeah, it's totally writing Python.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I think we can go to the next question, which is how do you ensure, I think it's about offsets or skewness. So how do you ensure the imagery is exactly WGS 84 with no skew before you start? So he's pointing out Bing is bad. Bing imagery is bad. Mazar is also often bad. So I don't know whether you have any views on this.
Actually, we don't process with the Bing map. We just download the tile image from it, and so it's not our issue to make sure that the Bing map is totally WGS 84 or like that.
Oh, I see. So, you are you saying that the algorithm is independent of coordinate systems?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, brilliant. That's very interesting. The person hasn't got a name here, but I think you follow up with that. I'm quite interested in this because that might be very helpful because coordinate system can be really a pain when you are doing these things.
Yeah. And actually, we just the GeoJSON is in EPSG. I cannot remember the coordinates code, but it's in common use the coordinate system, and we turn that coordinate into WGS bus 84 and render the tile, and the download the tile, the image is in the same coordinate system. So actually, I'm not clear with the question that why Bingmap is not always WGS 84.
I think probably that's the case, because I think the it's not always like exactly. I think the person is putting exactly WGS 84. If you're Jidani has put his name there. So Jidani, if you heard us, you can clarify regarding what Chan Wuyan said now. I'll go to the next question, which is about In some works, land use, land cover information have been derived from geosocial media data, especially from shared photos. Do you see any potential for augmenting your approach, taking into account also taking account also of these data sets in some areas, especially with regards to possibly achieving the temporary resolution? Probably let's address this first before we go to the next question. I don't know. Is it clear?
Yeah, it's clear.
Okay, then please address it before we go. I think there are two questions in one, so can go to the other.
Okay, so actually for the geosocial media data, I think it's usually application specified, so it works different way in different applications. So unlike the area image, it's much more difficult to handle in a unified form. So we still not consider to add the geosocial meta.
Hello, Chan Wu, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Okay, sorry, everyone. I think the streaming is a bit slow, but we managed with that. We have about 2 minutes more to go. So I would think probably for the next questions, you can just be a bit short in your answer so that we can address all. If not, then I think we can throw over to discussions later after the talk. So the next question is, can you discuss more about your future plans for the OSM quality measurement? Would be interesting to know. So this is a question from someone.
I will say that in short, we are going to
It's a bit slow here. I'm not sure whether you've completed answering the question. I'll go to the next. Chao Yan Wu, are you there? Okay. I would suggest maybe it's almost time, so I would suggest maybe for the rest of the answers and the comments, maybe you can address the questions on the session part or the question part. And so I think I'll end here, and thank you very much for your interesting work. And I'm quite interested, and I'll follow up on that. And thank you, everyone. We now have about, I think, 21 people in attendance. And thank you, everyone, for your patience with us and for participating in this session. And thank you again, Chao Yan Wu and Hao Li and Alexander for this study. Thank you, everyone. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Bye.
Thank you.